Shall we now turn to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Well, we continue with our topic, imitating Jesus Christ. And we are on part 6, imitating Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ had a mission on earth. His highest mission was to submit his heart, his mind, his soul, his will, and his body for the purpose and plan that God the Father had for him on behalf of us. His mission was to be in total agreement with the will of God, his Father. The first Adam failed to submit to God's purpose, to God's plan, and his desire. Adam and Eve fell short in giving due honor to God. They tried to rob God's honor and place it upon themselves. They tried to become like gods, to know good and evil. Now, this is something they could never handle. It was beyond human capability to know good and evil and remain without being overpowered by evil. Only God can handle evil. Only God can know what is evil and yet be untouched by it. Adam and Eve failed to remain in the position that God had given them. And they, like Satan, tried to reach out and grab God's glory and position. And they failed. They failed to submit themselves to God and to love him with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, will, and body. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, he came from heaven, became man, and did what Adam did not do. God's will, God's commands, God's purpose and plans became his righteousness. Adam and his descendants were made for righteousness. You and I were planned for righteousness, but we became unrighteous. Jesus Christ summed his submission with these words when a Pharisee asked Jesus as to which is the greatest commandment in the law. And Jesus said to him in Matthew chapter 22 verse 37 onward, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets." Submitting to God with total love becomes his righteousness. You know, the Old Testament taught nothing but this. The very thing what Jesus said, it was revealed to Moses, and Moses made it known to his people in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And in the same chapter, verse 25, it says, "And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us." It shall be our righteousness. If we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord, our God, as He hath commanded us. Well, God has given us His moral laws and precepts. God has given us His promises. God reveals His desires for us as individuals. And there are those desires which God has for each individual that He does not reveal. We looked at it in details last time. But we will continue to, we said, we will continue to look at it. In all these commands, purposes, desires, plans and will, He expects us to submit to Him. He expects us to agree with Him. He expects us to delight in Him, thank Him, and bless His holy name. That is why He has given us His Holy Spirit. Why? This is because He is sovereign God. He expects from us a total love because He is the sovereign Lord. He is the potter and we are the clay. He is the master and Lord and we are His subjects. He is infinite. We are finite. He is eternal. We are temporal. He is immortal. We are mortal. He is spirit. And we are the dust of the earth, having eternity placed in our hearts, in our earthen vessel. He is all-knowing. We are ignorant. We have to learn. And learning, we are never sufficient. He is self-sufficient. We are always lacking. He is full. We are empty. He is independent. We are dependent. He is free. We are chained to our pursuit of self-determination. He is free. We wish and desire and struggle for our freedom. The Son of God came and lived as man and showed us how to become knowledgeable and wise and become free and immortal. Immortality came through Christ Jesus, the scripture says. Through total submission to God's will, Christ became our wisdom, our knowledge, and immortality. The Bible says, "For you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Well, let us remind ourselves that all those that are associated with Jesus Christ are locked up in the ship of faith. Christ Jesus is the captain of that ship. We go where He takes us. We halt where He stops. We turn where He turns. Now you will see that God does not allow His people to be totally shattered with anxiety and tragedy. After the Lord has given His promises, there comes trials. And as these trials continue, sometimes there is only one bit trouble. And it lasts for, it may be a bit of a trouble or a big trouble, and it lasts for a short or for a long time. And then perhaps, when one is still going on, there comes another one. And as if two are not good enough, there comes a third, and maybe even the fourth. Trouble after trouble. But while these are going on, the Lord brings encouragements by which His people that are locked up in faith may be assured of His caring and guiding hands. God brings encouragement so that they may not be crushed by the weight of these trials, but are lifted up and given joy and hope to carry on till God's purpose for us is complete. Now, last time we heard that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day according to the law. And then after Mary had finished her purification time, Jesus was presented to the Lord also. according to the law. Now, while they were in the temple, an encouragement comes their way. The Gospel according to Luke tells us, as we read, let us read again from verse 25, Luke chapter 2, verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now this was the confirmation of what God had promised. What did Simeon say? "For mine eyes have seen my salvation, which hast thou prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Oh, Joseph and Mary must have been so surprised with these utterance, and at the same time so delighted and joyful. And Joseph, verse 33, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." But Simeon said more than this, and it also included the mother. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Dear friends, if any person is associated with the Lord Jesus Christ, this person will have suffering. You will have suffering. Suffering for the follower of Christ is inevitable. Anyone who says that once you come to Christ you are freed from all suffering is a liar. The scripture says otherwise. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25, "If any man will follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Apostle Paul told the new believers in Christ in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, We must, through tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So, it was said to Mary, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." Obviously, as Jesus would preach the message of the kingdom of God and teach the way of the Lord, men would be convicted of their sins, and many people and religious and political leaders would hate Jesus. They would call him all kind of names. They did call him, didn't they? They called him all kind of names. And what Simeon was trying to say was that they would plot to stone him and kill him. Ultimately, they would arrest him on false charges and lay upon him suffering beyond any human can bear, and shamefully nail Jesus on the tree to die. And all these insults, pain, sorrow, and death of a son would pierce her soul like a sword. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ say that they will persecute you because of my name? That's what he said. So there was encouragement, but also a further revelation of what would happen to Mary's heart. All the way, Joseph and Mary would have to continue in faith. For without faith, no one can please God. Faith in the commands of the Lord, in the promises of the Lord, in the teachings of the Lord, in what He has revealed individually in our lives and what He has not revealed, is so important that Paul wrote to the Thessalonian brethren, night and day, he told them, night and day I pray exceedingly, or rather we pray exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That which is lacking in your faith, dear friends, brethren, the first thing that Satan tries to do is destroy your faith in the doctrines of the Lord, in the promises of the Lord, and in the commands of the Lord. He will try his best to move your faith away from the things of God and put your faith, that you may put your faith in your own self and in the philosophy of the world, in the strength of the world and in your own strength. The Lord our Savior has warned. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. There shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. If possible, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Faith in God and His Son Jesus Christ is unconditional. This cannot be compromised. We must hold on to the fact that our salvation, our redemption, our eternal life is in Christ alone. Our deliverance from all problems is in Christ alone. And even if we are not delivered, our salvation and our fulfillment and our eternity is in Christ alone. And now you know, Peter had the tendency to put his faith in his own strength and in his own mind. So Jesus warned him, saying in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, Simon, 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 behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What does it mean to sift? It means to isolate, to separate. If you want to clean, you know, rice and wheat, in those days when we were little in India, our parents would ask us to clean rice and wheat and all the grains, to separate, to sieve it, you know, so that we separate the rice from all the dirt which were bigger than the rice, you know. And that's what the idea is, to separate. So we remove maybe the dirt which is larger than the rice or the wheat. So you call it sieving, isn't it? We sieve it. And this separates the larger useless parts from it. It could be even a larger good things from whatever. In the same manner, Satan can separate you and me from God's protection and salvation by causing unbelief to crop into your soul so that he can jump on you, he can jump on me and devour us. That's his plan. And he never stops doing it. He never rests, dear friends. As Luther called him, he is the very most busy pastor. He never rests. He is the most restless one. So how do we maintain and strengthen our faith in God? Like Jesus, we must submit ourselves in every way to God's will and desire, in every situation, love Him, serve Him with all our heart, mind, soul and body. There is nothing that we can put first, dear friend, and God second. We cannot love anything else beside God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our body. With all our body. If it is possible that even the elect can be deceived and be sifted, of course, you and I are converted, truly converted. And then, if we are truly, then God will not allow this to happen. But there is a temptation. There is a temptation to move from God. So, dear brethren, let us show ourselves and to others that we are truly saved by being faithful to the Lord. Let us not be moved, for Satan will try to move us. We see one trouble after the other coming in the way of Joseph and Mary. Even threats to their lives and to the life of their young child, Jesus. They had to move on by faith. But God does not leave us without any encouragement to cope with our trials. And we looked at one encouragement that came Joseph and Mary's way. For Joseph and Mary, first such encouragement actually from outside was the shepherds that came to see the child Jesus. And now the wise men, traveling all the way from the countries in the east, comes to worship the child with precious gifts. Surely all these events must have strengthened their faith in the promises of God. Oh dear friends, if in your own life you must have seen encouragements that came to you from the Word of God, or from reading a godly book, or from some Christian friend, or from a sermon, and each of these touched upon the chord that God had promised. In your brokenness, in your hopelessness, you felt sure that God has not left you and has not let you down after giving you a promise, or after having led you to a certain path. He continues to uphold you with His word. It is important to cherish these encouragements. It is important to remember these encouragements. Like all mothers, Mary kept all these things in her mind and pondered them in her heart. Yes, pondered means to bring together. She heard what was said about Jesus. She saw what was happening because of His birth, and she was meditating upon it. She was linking them together, all that she heard, all that she saw. She was linking them together and making sense of it all in the light of what God had promised her. And surely, this would strengthen our faith in the Lord. And we must do the same. dear brethren, Mary and Joseph did this. What about you? Did you, like Mary and Joseph, reflect upon your life from the time you were born till today? Do you read the commands of God and His teaching and His promises and the things that He reveals to you, and you put your faith in Him? Has your faith in God alone? Is your faith in God alone? In Christ alone? In His Word alone? In His grace alone? And has it grown? And can you say, I fear no man but God alone? I fear no institution but Christ alone. I fear the teachings of no man, but I put my trust in the Word of God alone. I seek for no grace from man-made traditions and organization, but in being obedient to the commands of God alone. Or do you simply follow the traditions of men and the imaginations of your heart from the time you are born till the time you die, and you pray to Mary and saints and to the dead, seeing no spiritual fruits, doing the same deeds, work, dead works, and never growing in the knowledge of God? Oh friends, read the Word and hear, and having heard, obey. Now, soon after Joseph and Mary were encouraged by Simeon, there came a woman, 84-year-old woman. Her name was Anna. She was a prophetess, we are told. She was a widow. She had only 7 years of married life. She gave herself wholly to the Lord after her husband was dead. All her life, we are told in verse 37 and chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, that she did not depart the rest of her life from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Her happiness, her fulfillment lay in serving the Lord. Now the Bible tells us in verse 38, and she, that is Anna, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Just think how encouraged Joseph and Mary must have felt. This elderly, godly woman who had given more than half of her life in the service of God with prayers and fasting, it was now revealed by God to her that this child is the Messiah, the Redeemer that the people were waiting for. And she directed people to Jesus. She must have shouted out. She must have gone and laid hold of people. Come, this is your Messiah. This is your Redeemer. Come, worship Him. Hear Him. And so, being encouraged, Joseph and Mary, we are told, departed to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. The times of trouble was not over. More trouble was yet to come. And Joseph and Mary were not told that the king of that time in Israel would seek to murder their child Jesus. They were not told. They were not informed beforehand. Yet it happened. King Herod the Great came to know through the wise men from the east that the king of the Jews was born. And the Bible tells us that when Herod heard this, he was troubled. He was troubled. The word troubled in Greek means agitated. Herod was agitated within his heart. He was highly disturbed and restless. Why did this happen to him? This was because he feared. and dread entered his soul. He became anxious and distressed with this news. He was afraid that his power would be snatched from him. He was threatened and he was terribly angry. So Herod the Great decided to kill this newborn king. And because the wise men went away without telling him, because he had told them, you find him, and when you have found him, come and tell me. Why did he say? He said that he would want to worship him. Oh no, he wanted to kill him. So Herod the Great decided to kill this newborn king. Did Joseph and Mary know about this? No. But God, who knows the heart of all men, warned Joseph through an angel to take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And so Matthew chapter 2 verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Joseph did not know what was happening in the palace of Herod. He did not even know that the wise men from the east were in Jerusalem searching for Jesus, the King of Israel. But God knew. It was He who was directing the steps of these men by the special star that God made it appear in the sky. God knows you and He knows me. He is working out His purposes for you and me. He is preparing our steps. Don't go ahead of Him. Don't rush into life making your own plans. Wait on the Lord. Don't keep saying, I want this in my life. I want that in my life. If you want what you want, then don't go to God. Don't go to God. For He will tell you, I will give you what I think what you need. I will give you what I think is good for you. So, like little Samuel, let us say, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, thy servant. Listen. And having said so, Psalm 37:34, verse 34, wait on the Lord. Having said so, wait on the Lord and keep His way. That's important. While waiting on the Lord, don't do your own things. Don't go in imagining and trying to do what you feel like doing, or hurting God and displeasing God. No. While you're waiting, keep His way. Keep His order. Keep the thing that God has asked you and me to do. And He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. He will fulfill something that you will never regret. It may not be the same thing that you want, but He will give you that you will never regret. His plans for all of us are perfect. Are perfect. Just because you don't know the future does not give us the liberty to do whatever we want to do. Be still and know that He is God. He will be exalted among the heathens, in the earth, and He will be exalted in your life and my life. Shall we pray?